Life Takes Guts with Nidhi Swaroop. Kratika Jain was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. She is on biologics and is doing well with her newly discovered diet named Kratika's OMG diet.
Hi Kratika, warm welcome to this episode of Life Takes Guts with Nidhi Swaroop. Very happy to have you talking to us today. Maybe we get started with what were your symptoms leading up to a diagnosis of inflammatory bowel disease?
Thank you, Nidhi, for the giving me this opportunity to share all of these symptom journey and IBD journey. So initially, I noticed that my bowel movements are not going well. Like I started going for like 2 to 3 times a day for the bowel movement. And then I was working in the office that time and there was a public washroom. I went there and noticed that there's some blood in the tissue wipe. So I thought initially that it could be hemorrhoids. I was not worried about it. I thought it will go away on its own. So I waited for 2 to 3 days for this thing. But for another 3 days, the symptoms were going worse and worse because my bowel movements increased up to 5 to 6 times a day and all with small amount of blood. So yeah, this was enough for me to go to a GP because I didn't know that what it is. Which doctor I should go for? What is a specialist for it?
As lay people, we wouldn't know who to see first. So the first thing you did was go and see a GP. And this is roughly like 5 or 6 years ago. Is that?
Yes. So it happened in 2019. I actually exactly remember the date. It's 20th October 2019.
Oh.
So it happened.
That's quite significant. That.
And during the visit of GP, I went for 2 times. He gave me for some urine test. Then he checked for hemorrhoids as well. He said that no, it's not hemorrhoids. I think it needs further investigation. So he referred me to a colorectal surgeon.
Surgeon.
Okay. Yeah. And I was going into a private practice hospital.
Okay. So just before this symptom started, was there anything significant that had happened? Like sometimes people share that they had gone on an overseas trip or there was a very stressful period or anything significant that had happened before this?
I would say nothing significant. We used to travel to different countries within a year because I got married just 1 year ago in 2018. So we used to travel a lot. But then I won't blame that because of the overseas travel, I got this. But when I first went to the doctor, he said that, where were you been in the last few days? And I visited Bali that time.
Okay.
So he actually said that it could be the factor that you got some infection from there.
Yeah.
He started treating the infection that time.
Yeah, that's the usual course. A GP would take that, rule out any kind of infection, use some antibiotics and try to resolve the issue. Did you have any abdominal pain at the same time that all this was happening?
No, in my first, when I got diagnosed, the first time it was not an abdominal pain. It was only a stool frequency increased. And there's a blood in that. Nothing else.
Yeah. So you were saying that after seeing a GP, you were referred to a colorectal surgeon. And then when you saw the colorectal surgeon, did he straight away do a colonoscopy or what was happening at that time?
Yes. So the colorectal surgeon asked me to do two options, CT scan or colonoscopy. And he advised to do the colonoscopy instead of CT scan. So we went for it and we found that it's a colitis symptom. I heard the name for the first time. What is it? And nothing else. Just there was a mild inflammation he noticed, and he wrote this thing in the report. And I was advised to take antibiotic course for 10 days.
So after the 10 days, were you okay completely, or what happened after that?
No. So within 10 days, it was very worse situation, because while taking the antibiotics, my symptoms were going bad and bad and bad. So I decided to fly back to my parents in India, because I needed a family that time. I only had my husband, and we both were struggling with this phase, like how to deal with it. Yeah. Because we thought that if someone is there with you and you know people around, so it's easier to cope up.
Yeah.
So we went back to India, and then we saw a gastroenterologist there.
Okay. So when you're saying that your symptoms were getting worse, can you describe, was it more diarrhea or more blood?
It was more diarrhea with blood. So the blood was also visible in a very great amount after a few days.
So it's fresh red color blood.
Yes. Yeah. Mixed with the stool.
And you were going how many times in a day?
It was like within 10 days, it got increased to 7 to 8 times.
Every day. Wow.
So
that would be exhausting, isn't it?
So my condition was, I was not able to go to a washroom as well. My health got deteriorated a lot. So it was difficult for me to walk even a little bit.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it's exhausting even when people go 3-4 times, and then you feel so tired, right? And the minute it becomes 7-8, and then you're losing blood also. It's not just diarrhea. Yeah, this fresh blood.
And the doctor referred me the liquid drinks only. That was a Tetra Pak juice. So I only had to drink that juice all over the day.
Oh my god.
That was my diet.
So challenging. Yeah. So in India you saw a gastroenterologist, and what did they recommend for you?
So they again did the sigmoidoscopy for me, because I just had the colonoscopy, so they didn't want to repeat it within a few days. So they did sigmoidoscopy, and they found out that it's ulcerative colitis. I was given mesalazine as a first line of treatment for it.
So for the benefit of our listeners, not everyone might know the difference between colonoscopy and sigmoid.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you can just elaborate a little bit, that'll be helpful.
Usually in colonoscopy, we check the colon via a tube that is inserted into the anus. And they check via the camera whether there's inflammation in the colon or not. And it is done in the anesthetic setting, where you are sedated for a while, and then it is being done. But in sigmoidoscopy, there is no need to get sedation. You can do it while being awake as well. And they put the same thing inside the colon, but it won't cover the whole colon.
Okay.
It will just check the bottom part of the colon.
Okay.
So if there is inflammation there, that means they will identify that there is inflammation in the colon itself. Because usually it increases from the anus part, rectum towards the next part.
To the small intestine.
The large intestine, it travels from the rectum to the another left part of the colon.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for sharing, because not everyone would be familiar.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's helpful to know. In this way, your first-hand experience. So, yeah. So after doing this procedure, were they able to give you a confirmed diagnosis?
Yes. So it was definitely being diagnosed as a ulcerative colitis patient, because here I was being diagnosed as colitis symptoms, mild inflammation. But there was no written report that says ulcerative colitis. But in India, when I got this diagnosis, I got to know that, yes, this is the disease that exists. I didn't know about
it. Never heard about it. Yeah. So how about the family, your parents, what was their response when they heard about this illness?
So we all were shocked because we never heard about it before. And in my family also, nobody had this kind of symptoms or disease. Nobody faced it. So we all were like, you know, struggling through it, that whether it will go lifelong or it will be in a few months, it will be cured. We didn't know anything. But the doctor says that you have to complete the first line of treatment as well, at least, so that, you know, you will be in remission for a while at least. But yeah, that's another point. Like, my journey is like not so easy.
Yeah. I think a few patients have shared similarly that getting this diagnosis itself is challenging, and then accepting that there is an illness which we have all not heard of. It's not so common in Asia. Yeah. So getting that diagnosis is also pretty challenging to accept. And it's not just diagnosis, it's also medication for the rest of our lives. Nobody in our family has had this illness. So again, it's unlike, you know, when we talk about diabetes, then yeah. It is like, oh, everyone knows somebody who has diabetes.
Yeah.
So we kind of have a benchmark to, you know, gauge against, oh yeah, this and this happens, you know, and what to expect and the kind of treatment. But here is something we've never heard of. And then you have this medication and the symptoms are quite challenging at the first place. So in your case, from the first symptom to diagnosis, roughly how much time did it take?
Around 15, 20 days.
Oh, wow. That's quick. Yeah. In a way, it is good because there are people who can be struggling with symptoms for a long time, even more than a year or 2 years. But yeah, there are cases like yours where it's so evident. Yeah, the symptoms are very typical of ulcerative colitis, where there's diarrhea and there's blood. There's no two ways about it. You know, quickly going to a gastroenterologist is helpful, and then doing a colonoscopy, doing the procedures, any blood test. Because again, for diagnosis, I believe there's not just one thing that can be done and then you say, okay, this is it. Yeah, it's a combination, right? So you did it all, and yeah, so in 2 weeks you have the diagnosis.
It all went very frequently because the symptoms were not improving a little bit.
Yeah. So straight away you were started on mesalazine, and how yes. how many tablets of?
So it took me 10 months. I was on mesalazine for 10 months and the next flare up came. So I was put on steroids, IV steroids, because this time it was combined with the abdominal pain, severe abdominal pain. So it was not getting into control with the oral steroids. So my frequency also increased up to, I think, 15 to 16 times a day.
Oh my God, you had diarrhea and there was blood also, 15,
blood,
16 times? Blood
and vomiting and abdominal pain.
Oh my God.
Everything simultaneously.
So both sides were, you know, both sides were affected, and this would be exhausting.
Yeah, I'm emptying my bowel and simultaneously I'm vomiting it up.
Oh my God. And this is you, I mean, initially you said you were in India for the diagnosis. So did you continue to stay there?
Yes, I was there only.
Okay, so you stayed on for 10 months and then there is a flare up.
No, I actually came back and then I went back to India within, I think, 5 to 6 months. And then the flare up came and then I continued to stay in India. Yeah. So I was on IV steroids after that because
how long?
Steroids.
Yeah.
Yes. IV worked for 10 days and again, there was no improvement was seen. So they put me on, so I was hospitalized for around a month. I mean, different hospitals.
Oh my God. This is a lot. Yeah.
Different hospitals, and it took me a month to continue another medication. So then doctor's team suggested that, you know, I should be on biologics because steroids were not working, and IV steroids usually starts to act in the body very quickly.
Yes.
And in my case, it didn't happen. So they had to put me on biologics after that.
Okay. So this is while you are still in the hospital.
Yes.
Biologics were started, and then another. So this whole thing took 1 month, and then you got discharged with biologics.
With biologics.
Okay. So once biologics start, steroids are stopped.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you are still, I mean, this is, I'm trying to frame the whole thing that you are still in India, and this is like year one. This is just the first year.
Yes.
Oh my God. So now can you then describe what happens in the next two to 3 years?
Yes. So I continued biologics from India only. Mm-hmm. And the same biologics I'm still continuing in Singapore. So I'm again going to a private practice hospital, and there I again went through all the checkups and all, because they also wanted to see like how is the situation now after biologics. So they found out that now it's in remission, and it's been 3 years. I'm still continuing this thing, biologics.
Okay, so when you say they wanted to see if you're in remission, that means there was a colonoscopy done.
So every year I went through colonoscopy.
Okay, wow. Every year there's a colonoscopy. And then in a year, how often do you need to see the doctor, the gastroenterologist?
I actually take biologics every 2 months. So it's an 8-week course. So every 8 weeks I have to meet him anyway, because I take infusions.
Okay.
So it's in the hospital setting where you have to get admitted for at least 2 hours.
Okay.
And then I get infused with the biologics, and that time only I consult with my gastroenterologist.
Okay. So every 2 months is the consultation, every year is the colonoscopy, and every 8 weeks is the biologics. Okay, I kind of get that. Now tell me, in parallel, how is your diet in the first 2-3 years?
So when the first flare-up came, it was with the abdominal pain. And I was not able to eat a single thing, because the moment I eat, either I will vomit or I'll go for a bowel movement. So when I got it checked with the doctors, they put me on liquid diet. So initially, I was nil by mouth for around a week, and they put me on TPN, total parental nutrition. And after that, they introduced peptides, that is only a liquid solution that you have to drink in a day that will give you the protein. And I think gradually I moved to solid foods within a month during hospital time period. So in a month I started solid foods, but then I decided that, you know, I have to be strictly on a particular diet. I didn't want to take any risk after that. So I started my own diet, like which are the trigger foods for me.
So you were guided by a dietitian to identify your trigger foods?
Yeah, she actually prepared a chart for me in the hospital itself, that these are the basic ones that you should avoid, and these are the ones that you should follow.
Okay.
And this much calorie is required, this much, and every food calorie is there.
Wow. Okay. So you were quickly educated on counting calories, identifying foods. Okay.
It was very necessary, because
that's helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. The muscle mass was going down during the hospitalization. And it was necessary to build the calories as soon as possible in the body. So every day there was a calorie count that she used to measure, like how many calories I have taken today.
Okay. So were you losing weight when you say muscle mass is going down? So you would be losing.
I almost lost 14 to 15 kgs in a month.
Oh my God. That's a lot.
Yes.
Wow. So that, did that make you feel very weak, very tired also?
Yeah.
Is that, oh my God. Wow. I've heard of those kind of numbers, but over a few months.
Yeah.
But in 1 month, that is drastic. Yeah.
Because bowel movements were a lot. And
yeah. And then there was vomiting at the same time. Plus you're losing blood. Oh my God. Wow. That's a lot you have gone through. So tell me emotionally, what was happening? What were your feelings at that time?
I actually thought that I was Googling all the time. Like, what is the symptom that is, it's there, like, what could be the result? And always Google leads you up to cancer.
we say that, right? That it can provide information, but it can be misleading also, right? So we get scared reading all these additional things which might not be applicable to us.
Because first time when I had blood in the stool, the first thing that Google shows is colon cancer. And I did not sleep for I don't know how many nights thinking that I have this. So when the diagnosis came, then only I realized, okay, it's not cancer.
Yes. And that would give you some relief, right?
Yeah.
That, okay, there is something else. We've never heard of ulcerative colitis, but maybe it's less scary. That is a feeling at that time. Yeah. So
yeah, emotionally, it got so bad that, you know, lots of thoughts come to your mind, like what is happening with me? I think the doctors are not, you know, able to guess what is it. I should consult some other doctors. So these all thoughts mixed up.
So who would you say helped you in this very challenging, especially on the emotional side? You were with your parents, but the initial thought was, I will be with my parents so that I can be physically taken care of.
Yeah.
Right? But now it comes to emotions. So
it was a difficult journey because you are just 1 year into the marriage. I mean, I just got married in 2018. In 2019, I got diagnosed. So it was a time when you understand each other and we were understanding the disease. So it was so struggling.
So unfortunate, isn't it? Yeah, it's challenging. It's challenging.
So we both were like, you know, struggling with this thing that how to be come out of it. We started learning like, what is it? Googling, asking actually a lot of doctors and all other, like, you know, homeopathy, Ayurvedic, everything we started searching out, like, what is the cure for it?
Yeah.
So everything we did, but emotionally, I would say that there were few support groups on Facebook that helped me a lot. Because there I found a few kind-hearted souls, I would say. I shared my journey with them.
Okay.
And they boosted up my confidence.
Good.
That, you know, this is not a life-threatening disease.
Okay.
And I was always thinking that it would be something that would, you know, kill me.
Yeah. I can totally relate to this because as a Crohn's disease patient, and for me, it took 2 years to diagnose. And I imagine similarly, you know, because I would Google that whatever symptoms I'm having, what could it be?
Yeah.
And I had in my own head, I had all these, you know, like multiple sclerosis, Sjogren's syndrome, and all kinds of cancers, because my symptoms were not typical of IBD in my case. Yeah, it was not typical. I didn't have diarrhea. I didn't have blood. I didn't have any of those things. So gastro-related illness was not even in my mind.
Sure.
They were just, you know, all kinds of things. Symptoms all over the body. So all kinds of answers from Dr. Google were being thrown at me, which is so wrong. But that is how we all struggle, yeah, to find the right information. And once there's a diagnosis, at least there's the relief that we know what is wrong and then read accurate information. And we can ask the doctor specifically, is it terminal? You know, that was, you know, is it infectious? Because you worry for the family. Yeah. So yes, it's not infectious. Yes, it's not terminal. Gives a lot of confidence and relief to us. And then you had this amazing support group that, you know, patients were able to share with you that, hey, you know, ulcerative colitis is not so bad. So that is a big help. Because what happens in many cases is we are focusing too much on the clinical side, the medical side, the physical issues. Yeah, we kind of ignore the emotions, but they are so important as human beings. Yeah. So, yeah, please, who else was there for you? I think it's a chance to thank them all here.
So they were the ones who were able to understand emotionally. Otherwise, family is always there, but they won't realize the fact that what I'm going through.
Yes, it's another patient who has gone through the journey, understands the extent of fatigue we feel. Because again, there's no way to measure it. Even when it comes to pain, in the clinics and in the hospitals, they show us those smiley faces. You choose how bad is your pain, right? Which is, again, debatable because some people think, oh, women overplay their emotions.
It's
right?
in your so mind. It's in your
it can't be real. How can it be? Why don't you rest? Yeah, there are all these things. But patients understand what another patient is going through. Absolutely right. And as a newlywed, I my heart goes out to, you know, the spouse. I felt that for my husband too, you know. That it's difficult to look at the face and judge how terrible we are feeling inside, right? The fatigue really breaks us on the inside. And then emotions are, again, we are tackling for ourselves as well as for the family.
Right.
That here you have a husband who is new and trying to understand you and living together. Then there are parents who get worried for you. So even though you want to express your full emotions, you want to protect them also. Similarly, I'm sure your mother might be saying some things. Your father, how was your father responding to this?
So my father realized that Ayurvedic is the best solution. So he contacted a few doctors there in India. He gave me the contacts, but it didn't work for me. And he always like kind of favor of Ayurvedic side.
Okay. Yeah. Living in Asia, this is something we all talk about, that living in Asia, we will try all the alternative routes. Yeah. Right. Because no doctor is telling us that there is a cure. No doctor is telling us that this will definitely work because each body is different. Some medicines work and some don't. Yeah. So you tried Ayurveda and it didn't help you.
And then homeopathy as well, because people think that, you know, these alternative medications can cure you. Allopathy won't be able to cure you.
So this thing
is always there in the mind that, you know, I used to listen all those things
while growing up.
And after this disease as well, it was like, you know, bombarding all of this thing. Because everyone is suggesting something and you have to find out what you want to speak, because they will suggest you any kind of medication and then you have to decide.
The interesting part was, if I can just, you know, share on along this line, that most people would say, oh, IBD, inflammatory bowel disease, never heard of it. Or if you say Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, oh, never heard about this. What is this illness? So we would then say it's an autoimmune disease of the digestive tract. Yeah. The minute you say that, there are lots of suggestions coming from everyone. And I'm like, just now, a minute ago, you had no clue what this illness is. And then now you are an expert.
And people confused with IBS and IBD as well.
Yes, yes.
They think that someone had got IBS and they start giving you the advice of IBD.
So, yeah, along the way, we all learn our lessons. And then I've come up with a way of politely putting it across that I can see very clearly you want to help me. Thank you so much that you care for me and you're trying to help. But this illness is quite different from what you have gone through. Yeah. So we are figuring it out together with the doctors and the dietitian. So that way they also understand. And yeah.
Definitely. What now I know like what to say. I used to explain each and everything of the
and it's so draining because we are already exhausted.
Yeah.
We are fatigued. And then to explain to each person becomes even more draining.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them don't want to understand.
So there was decided, no, this is not the right way.
Yeah, so I think we have gone through quite a few years of symptoms, and specifically for you, luckily for you, the diagnosis was rather quick.
Mm-hmm.
And after the diagnosis, you were able to find something that is now working for you.
Yeah.
And you're on biologics. And then how often do you still need to see the doctor?
It's like I'm in remission since last 3 years.
Okay.
So there's no need to see a doctor without the infusion. Mm-hmm. So almost like 8 weeks time, I visit him.
Okay. And how often do you have like a follow-up blood test or any kind of test or scan? So
blood test happens every 4 months. Mm-hmm. And calprotectin test as well happens in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And colonoscopy in 1 year.
1 year. Okay. So the fecal calprotectin test is to measure the inflammation inside the body, right? Yes. So we just give a stool sample, they analyze, and they let us know. So
yes.
Above a certain level, there's an indication of inflammation. Yeah. And then the medication might have to be tweaked. But it's important, isn't it?
I think the colonoscopy is the best measure to find out the inflammation in your intestines.
Yeah, yeah. Was there a time when you were told to think about surgery?
Yeah. So when I was given the biologics, the doctor told me, you have to decide whether you want to start with it or not.
Mm.
Because there's itself, you know, you have, it's a big decision financially as well.
Mm.
When you are on biologics, whether you will be able to continue it or not, because you cannot drop it immediately.
Mm.
So when I was in India, they told me to decide on this factor. And it took me around 5 to 6 days talking to different people about it. Whether I should continue it or not. I got the mixed reviews regarding biologics.
Mm.
But then doctors were very nice. They told me that, you know, instead of, I was actually favoring surgery because I thought, you know, if it is in the large intestine, why don't you remove it? I don't want this in my body because I don't want it back. And if I'll be on biologics, it will keep flaring up.
Mm.
So they told me that, no, it's your decision whether you want to do the surgery or you want to be on biologics. But they tried to convince me on biologics because my age was not something.
You're young. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had to start my family as well.
Yes.
So they thought that, you know, it's a very young age to have a surgery.
Mm.
And once the surgery is being done, there are other complications. It's not so easy.
Okay.
And when there's a medication available, then why surgery?
Yes, yes. And then once the large intestine is gone, it's gone. You can't do anything, right? So, yeah, that's a wise decision to keep it and manage with some medication. So it's been like we have spoken about diagnosis and 3 years, right? And then subsequently in the last maybe 2 years or so, has there been any significant change?
Okay, so in the last 1.5 years, I would say another skin condition happened. That was, it started with the itching in the skin and the private part itching. So I thought that it will go away on its own, but it took me for like 2 months to go to a doctor, a specialist dermatologist for this. And she identified that it's a psoriasis condition that is happening. I started using.
That's another autoimmune condition, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm. So that was in the private part, and it's so bad that you cannot even itch. I had to solve it as soon as possible. So she gave me steroid cream. I applied those. It didn't work long because you cannot use a steroid cream for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
So as soon as I stopped, it came back again. So she gave me then immunosuppressant cream.
Mm-hmm.
then I'm
that
you.
Helped.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That
okay.
helped a lot, and that actually put me on remission after that.
Okay, good. Congratulations. Yeah, it's challenging because having another condition to deal with is not easy. Yeah.
Yeah. So simultaneously, when both the conditions were in remission, my doctor suggested now you can start a family. So now I'm expecting a baby next year.
Fantastic. Congratulations again. So and it's okay to continue with your biologics and immunosuppressants when necessary. Is there any special thing you need to do or any change that you had to make because of pregnancy?
Yeah, so I was always in doubt that, I will transfer it to my baby. So I always was scary about it, whether we should start a family or not. But since the doctors were very sure that, with the biologics as well, you can start, and throughout the pregnancy, it's no harm.
Okay.
You always have biologics. The one that I'm taking, I can have it throughout.
Okay.
So mostly in the third trimester, we have to stop it, but if it is needed, then also the chances are very little, only 3% chances that it will go to the baby. Otherwise it's all
quite
safe.
Quite safe to continue. So that's very reassuring, for our listeners, for young people who are living with either Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, with, like in your case, it's ulcerative colitis. And you're an example that, life can go on. One aspect we didn't cover was on your career side. I think initially you were talking about that you were working. But did the diagnosis lead to any change, or were you able to continue as per in the past?
So I got diagnosed in 2019 and I came to Singapore in 2018. I was working for around 1 year, 1.5 years. Even after the diagnosis, I continued to work for another 6 months. But then I realized that, this condition is not something that is coping up with my work. I used to get hospitalized within 6 months as well, and then I had to take leaves and all, so it was not going well with my career, because the job was demanding. I was a digital marketing specialist, so I had to take care of everything in the company's digital phase. And it's kind of, you cannot meet the deadlines. It cannot be like that. You have to have the follow the deadlines.
Yeah,
that was not helping me with this disease. So I actually decided to quit the job and being a full-time homemaker. And now I'm volunteering CCSS from the last 2.5 years.
Fantastic. Yeah, this is where we bring some hope to other patients, that even though life changes with such chronic illnesses being, diagnosed in our body, in our physical body, it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. We can still do something meaningful. And it is something that you are trained in, you're passionate about, but you can use that skill flexibly by volunteering. Yeah, so there is still that meaning and purpose. Otherwise, emotionally, we can feel a bit, low, and we can spiral downwards. And that's not helpful in any person's case. I think I should say that.
I would say that I was always being a creative person, but when I was working, I stopped all the creativity.
Oh, so limited.
That creativity has woken up again.
Oh, fantastic! I'm so
happy about that. Yeah.
So there's something good that came out of it.
Yeah, and the spiritual side as well. I turned to the spiritual side suddenly after this disease. It helped me in reducing the stress levels as well.
Okay, yeah. Because stress is another aspect that everyone talks about, that does stress cause it, or does stress make things worse? And what we understand now is stress doesn't cause it. But once we are diagnosed with this illness, stress can definitely make things worse. So managing it through some exercise, some meditation, some painting, some art, craft, music, whatever you love, you know, it is so helpful. It is so helpful to keep things under control. So,
because in my case as well, I think that stress is the culprit. Diet-wise, I'm following everything. But the flare-up comes whenever I'm more stressed out.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I think there's a lot of research done in that space. And there's a lot of evidence we've seen kids with, you know, going through board exams and interviews. And that's when they have a flare-up. So, there's a clear correlation between stress and
mind and gut.
Yes, gut and brain, of course, there's that access that we need to manage that part. And so tell me about, as of now, if we ask, how is your diet? Is there any limitation? Have you identified your trigger foods or what's going on? Yeah.
So actually, I identified the trigger foods during these 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a new journey because I'm still identifying, but I'm quite used to of my diet now. Mm-hmm. I'm on OMG vegetarian diet.
OMG vegetarian diet, what is that?
That's my kind of diet. O means oil-free, M means milk-free, H means gluten-free.
Oh, okay. That's a new diet.
That's identified by me.
Okay. Fantastic.
I found out that these are the things that help me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on a daily basis, when you say oil-free, so you're totally not using oil at all?
No oil, only ghee.
Okay. Okay. There has to be some medium to cook your food. You use ghee. Okay. Yeah. So in that spirit, butter should be okay also.
Yes, but I usually prefer cow's ghee.
Cow's ghee. Okay. Yeah. And then when you say, what was the second one? Milk free. Yeah. Okay. So milk. But have you tried like soy milk and oat milk and almond milk? There's so many these days. Have you tried?
I tried oat milk and almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
Oat milk I didn't like. Okay. Almond milk causes constipation.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And soy milk also I don't like.
Okay.
I totally avoided milk, but I do take yogurts.
Yogurt. Okay. And that is from the regular cow's milk.
Yes. True.
Okay. Okay. So yogurt helps you and otherwise you're dairy free.
Yes.
And when it comes to vegan, what are the things that you're able to eat?
So almost all vegetarian things like leafy vegetables, green vegetables, and lentils.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm using millets basically. I'm majorly on millet diet.
Okay. That's very helpful because our listeners might be keen to know what's working, at least for you. And we know each body is different and what might work for me might not work for you. But at least we get to hear the options. You know, these are the alternatives.
No particular diet that suits someone. Everyone has to identify their own trigger foods.
Yes, and eliminate those.
Yeah.
In addition to medication and relaxation and exercise. Yeah, it's a combination. Yeah, it's a combination of things. Fantastic. So you've covered so many things for us. Thank you so much. But before we wrap up the session, is there any hope or something that you wish to see happening going forward? Please.
Yeah. So I would say that it's not the end of the life once you are diagnosed. It's always like a person will learn through it. And I would always say it's a positive side of the your journey because you will definitely learn more than other people.
Wow. Thank you. That brings a lot of hope and excitement.
And it's a self journey as well. Like you will introspect a lot. And you will try to improve a lot of things in your life. So it's not something that will, you know, stop you from doing anything. Once the medication started suiting you, then I think it's all equal. Nothing can stop. Yeah.
Nothing can stop you. Fantastic. And your words of wisdom are well noted, well taken. I'm sure it will inspire many other listeners who will be going through this episode. We wrap today's session with a big thank you to you and best wishes with the baby coming next year.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations to your husband and you, the whole family. Wish you good health. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We hope you found today's conversation useful, and we look forward to you joining us in the next episode. For more information about joining the patient support group, please contact the Crohn's and Colitis Society of Singapore. You can reach us via email at admin@ibd.org.sg or WhatsApp at +65 9756 4066. Do visit our website www.ibd.org.sg to know more about our annual seminar, financial assistance schemes, and how you could join us as a member, meet other patients, as well as parents of children living with IBD. This educational and public awareness project is kindly supported by the National Youth Council, Singapore.